I thank you for the resurrecting power that raised Christ from the dead. Lord, I thank you that it is alive in us today. Father, I thank you that we are your children and that you love us so much. Thank you that you want us to come as children at your feet today with anticipation and with joy and expectancy, and to just hang out with you. I'm just so thankful.
Who am I that the highest King would I was lost, but he brought me in all his love for me. Oh, his love for me. The sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child. Has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, Are for me, not against me. am a child of God. Yes, I am.
In my
Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I
Jesus, thank you that we are your children. I'm just so thankful today, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jen. Really appreciate that. The song choice was very poignant this morning. God's obviously got our attention this morning, and probably more will be unveiled as I speak this morning on some of the thoughts around that. So thank you. It was awesome. I wonder whether you just take a moment. I think it's always nice to declare something about God that you love, something about his character, something about his nature that is, I suppose, relevant to you right now. I wonder whether just in the chat that you would just write something about God's nature or something about his character that you go, that's really important to me at the moment. If you haven't got access to the chat, that's fine. But I just think it's important to just center our hearts on who God is and who, you know, as that song said, you know, what he says about us, but also what do we say about him? You know, we think about what we say, what he says about us, but what do we say about him? So I'd love you just to share some thoughts. You know, I love that protector, trustworthy, he's faithful. His faithfulness, he never leave us nor forsake us. It's good. So I wanted to talk on the topic of uncertainty today. You know, and I just... Obviously, it's something that's very real, and I was thinking about this, and I thought I'd start with this passage in John 14. So I'm just going to read this scripture with us this morning. It's going to be on the screen there, which is fantastic. Oh, thanks to Pete and Siobhan too for running our slides and all that kind of stuff. You do an awesome job. Thank you so much. But as we read this scripture, you can imagine the disciples have just spent an amazing time. Jesus has called them into his, you know, into his family, if you like, or into his crew. And they've just experienced amazing time with him. And then they had one of those difficult conversations where they, where he starts to explain to them that he's about to leave. Now, you imagine you've just had the time of your life and you think, well, it's just about to... it's just about over, and just the challenges with that, and the challenges of going, you know what, I've eaten with Jesus, you know, we've been been hanging out together, we've been ministering together, we've been doing all these things, and everything's about to change, and he's the reason we're enjoying this great journey, and he's about to leave us. And so you can imagine there's a sense of loss and a sense of abandonment, a sense of change. And yeah, so I just want us to think about that as we read this passage. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." I love how Jesus starts with this, because I can imagine the disciples are saying, it's easy for you to say, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going," Thomas said to him. "And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." In verse 7, it says, "If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have seen, sorry, you now, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Let's go to the next slide. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me believes, the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and also believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these we will do. Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Just go to the next slide. I think no doubt of most of us have probably had feelings of uncertainty in this season. You could say, I don't know what's been going on in your world, but there's certainly been a sense that, you know, we've had some health issues in our family, you know, with different things going on. And, you know, that's caused a level of anxiety and stress, I suppose, of uncertainty in the future. You know, most of us, you know, I know different people have had challenges with work and family and finances and even housing. People, you know, had to change their mortgages and all that kind of thing. And there's a sense of uncertainty around, you know, where you're going to live and what that's going to look like. So we're all in this place, I suppose, of vulnerability and sort of uncertainty that can cause us, you know, a sense of anxiety. But I think we would all agree that, you know, this is probably part of the journey of life, is that uncertainty is certainly certain. We're always going to live in this place where there's going to be times in our life where the future is unknown. But I wanted to really focus on this scripture, and like there was so much in that scripture, but I wanted to focus on one particular verse because I feel like, if you like, this particular verse really crystallizes the struggle the disciples were going through and really sums up in one comment that Jesus makes. In one comment, Jesus makes this this thought and sort of reflects back to them, because you see that you see Thomas and you see Philip asking all these questions about what's going to happen in the future. Where are we going to be? Where are you going to be? How is this going to work? Jesus, we need you to paint a clear picture. And there's lots of questions and no clear answers about what the future holds. And Jesus makes this one comment, which I just want to reflect back to you. And I just want us to think about this one comment this morning. I don't want us to go through this massive scripture. I want you to feel the sense of uncertainty. I want you to feel the sense of abandonment and the sense of vulnerability that disciples were feeling in that moment when Jesus was telling them this. I want you to feel that. But I want you to hear this one truth that Jesus speaks back to them after all their questions and all the things, all their concerns. He reflects back this one comment in verse 18. And if you go to the next slide, Pete, I think this one comment really sums up this whole thing. It says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. In verse 18, it says, I will come to you. You know, I love that screen there. It says, I'm not an orphan anymore. And I was reflecting about this whole idea, how sometimes when we're uncertain or we're feeling vulnerable, there is a sense that we can carry this orphan spirit, or we can pick up this orphan spirit or this orphan mindset in that moment, because that was really what the disciples were feeling in that moment. And Jesus spoke to that. They were sensing, a sense of abandonment, a sense of struggle, thinking that they were going to now be on their own. And then Jesus speaks in and goes, hey, guys, you are not orphans. And I speak that to the church this morning. You are not an orphan. And I just want to share a few thoughts about this. One guy, John Miller or Jack Miller, or whatever you want to call him, he's a pastor in the States. He wrote some stuff around sonship and other things. But I just want to, there's a list of things that he talked about when it comes to having this sense of what it means, to feel like an orphan. And orphans, one of the attitudes or one of the mindsets of what does an orphan have? And it says orphans have to take care of themselves. Orphans must be strong. Orphans must protect themselves from being taken advantage of. Orphans cannot depend on anyone. Orphans cannot be weak. Orphans crave to be taken in and loved, but doubt they ever will. Orphans want to be accepted and to belong. Orphans only trust themselves. Orphans cannot get too close, and orphans are on the outside looking in. And I think for the disciples, they were sensing this kind of sense of, I'm going to now have to take care of myself. I'm going to have to be strong in this. I'm going to have to kind of protect myself from being taken advantage of. I can't really depend on anyone else now. I'm going to have to depend on myself. I cannot be weak. They had such a desire to be taken in by Jesus and loved by God, by Jesus, and be a part of that crew. And now they were wondering whether they were ever going to experience that again. They wanted to accept it. They wanted to belong. And I feel like this sort of highlights some of the thoughts about what it means to have that orphan mindset. But, this scripture really highlights to you, and I know I don't want you to dismiss it, but where are there moments when you feel like you're at your most vulnerable? Are you tempted to feel like you're an orphan? Are you tempted to sense that orphan spirit or that orphan mindset where you feel like you're abandoned, that you're on your own? In fact, Charles Spurgeon said this, which I thought was really relevant about the difference between what it means to be, the feelings of an orphan and what Jesus would say about that. He says, an orphan has parents who are dead. The Spirit shows us that Jesus is alive. Orphans have parents that are dead, but the Spirit show us that Jesus is alive. An orphan is left alone, but the Spirit draws us close into God's presence. An orphan has lost their provider, but the Spirit provides all things. An orphan is left without instruction, but the Spirit teaches us all things. An orphan has no defender, but the Spirit is our protector. And I love that contrast to realize, and this is the revelation. You see that scripture as it flows down. They talk about their struggle. They ask a lot of questions. And Jesus in verse 18 says, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you as an orphan. You are not an orphan. Stop thinking like an orphan. Stop feeling like an orphan. Stop acting like an orphan. You are not an orphan. And I just want to read a couple of a scripture. I love this this quote from Oswald Chambers. He says this: the nature of a spiritual life is that we are certain in our uncertainty. We are certain in our uncertainty. Why are we certain in our uncertainty? Because we're not orphans. That's why we're certain. So I want to read a couple of scriptures to you this morning. One comes from John 1:9, because if we're not an orphan, and I love as we sung that song, what are we? We're a child of God. That's who we are. If we're not an orphan, we're a child of God. John 1:9-13 says, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You'll notice in that scripture in John 14, the amount of times that Jesus says, believe, believe also in me, believe, believe, believe. And it says in this scripture, to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. You and me are children of God. We are not orphans. And if we want to go through moments of uncertainty in our life, we need to keep reminding ourselves that we are not orphans, that we are children of God. This is the revelation for us today. Let's go to Romans 8. It says, because of us and because, you know, we are believing believers, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back to fear. That's not who we are. But you received the spirit of adoption as sons. While we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also be glorified with him. You know, we are not slaves to fear. We're not slaves to uncertainty, but we are children of God. So I just want to reflect the difference, if you like, between an orphan and a child of God. Are we getting this morning? Is anyone hearing me? It's awesome. So this is the main difference. When you're uncertain and when you're struggling and you're fearful of the future, there is a temptation for an orphan to think, I need to take care of myself. But a child of God says, God takes care of him. God takes care of me. That's my confession. That's my declaration. An orphan says, I must be strong. A child says, I find my strength in the Lord. That's what a child of God says. An orphan says, I must protect myself. But a child of God says, God is my protector, Jehovah Nissi. An orphan says, I can't depend on anyone. But a child of God says, I have total dependence on God for everything. An orphan says, I cannot be weak. But a child of God says, his grace is sufficient for me. His power is in fact made perfect in my weaknesses. An orphan says, craving for love, striving for love. But a child of God says, I am loved. An orphan craves to be accepted, craves to fit in, craves to belong. But a child of God says, I do belong. I am accepted. An orphan only trusts themselves, but a child of God fully trusts in God for everything. An orphan doesn't want to get too close. They become protective because they're full of shame. But a child of God embraces intimacy with Jesus. An orphan is an outside looking in. But a child of God doesn't look on the outside thinking like, oh, you know, I'm not part of that. But we're on the inside looking out. We stand on in our inheritance. We stand on the fact that we are co-heirs with Christ, that we are seated in heavenly places, that we on the inside with him, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that we are looking out into the world and we have a sense of security and salvation in him. There is a temptation for us when we are feeling uncertain, like the disciples, when we feel a sense of loss in our life or abandonment, whether it's around our work or our health or our relationships or our church or whatever's going on, there is a sense that we can take on an orphan mindset. And I want to encourage you this morning that you are not an orphan. I need you to say that to yourself. I need you to remind yourself every time you are tempted to think like that, that you are in fact a child of God. In that passage, it goes, the reason that you're a child of God and the reason that you're not an orphan is because we have been given the promised Holy Spirit. The word here is parakletos. The word parakletos is the translated Greek word here that we hear for helper. Now, when God gives us his Holy Spirit, the word is the idea that we get someone else. So we get him, and it would refer to our advisor, our legal defender, our mediator, our intercessor, our comforter. You are not an orphan. You are a child of God. And I just want to encourage, I imagine what our life would be like if we woke up every morning and remind ourselves, you know what, I'm not an orphan. I'm not on my own. I've got him. I'm a child of God. I'm not abandoned. He has me in this season. And there is no reason for us to feel feel a sense of that in the midst of uncertainty. And I just want to go back to that scripture and encourage you to go back and read John 14. And you get through that scripture and then you just see this. For me, as I read it, just it almost like this, that verse in verse 18 illuminated to me that said, hey, guys, I am not going to leave you as an orphan. And I was just like, that's it. That's the revelation that the church needs to get. That's the revelation I need to get whenever I'm feeling uncertain. I am not an orphan. I'm a child of God, and I need to accept that. And just as a way of reflecting on some of these thoughts this morning, I just wanted us to sit in this place and just listen to this song. And most of us would know it, but let's listen to the words. And it comes from, this passage in Romans 8, that we are not a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. And let's just listen to this scripture, listen to this song, I should say, and just really just remind, declare to yourself, you know what, I'm a child of God. I'm not an orphan. And I need to start to think like a child of God. I need to start to act like a child of God. I need to start to feel like a child of God rather than feeling like and thinking like and acting like an orphan. So let's just listen to this and sit and just reflect on it as God speaks to us.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a soul of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Jesus, we certainly live in uncertain times. And Lord, I just want to pray and declare over each of us today the revelation that we are your children, that we are your sons and your daughters, and that we stand in an inheritance which cannot be spoiled or will not fade. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for those of us maybe, and for most of us, that we are tempted to take on that orphan mindset or that orphan attitude or those orphan attitude, the actions, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would break that orphan spirit of us today in Jesus' name, and that we would accept who we are and what you have called us to, that we would receive your promise and that we would receive your truth. That as the disciples wrestled with the fact that they felt abandoned at times, where they felt vulnerable and not knowing what to do, they felt uncertain about the future, Lord, that you declared over them to say, I will not leave you as orphans. And I thank you, Lord, that's our word to us today, that you will not leave us as orphans, that we are your child. We will not become a slave to fear. In the midst of uncertainty in our world today, where we don't know what it's going to look like, we don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, we don't know what the future, but what we do know, Lord, is that we are your children and that you have given us your Holy Spirit and that you will protect us and that you will defend us, you will comfort us, you will secure us, you will strengthen us, you are faithful to us, and we just thank you for that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just wonder whether anyone wants to respond in any way just after that video. I love that video as it just takes you along that uncertain path, and it's just that declaration around being a child of God. And I'd love to hear some feedback this morning, just so that I can sense you're hearing what I'm saying, that the Spirit of God's at work. And I know that you are present in the room. That would be helpful. Don't be shy, even if you feel like, oh, I talk all the time.
Well, the passage that keeps coming back to me is the prodigal son. You know, even though he cleared out, his father embraced him back in the most amazing way after he had botched it big, big time. And that idea of God's embrace, and but although he tried to think he could do it, all those things you said about being an orphan, he chose those, and yet his father took him back. And things that were there, very powerful picture.
Yeah, that's great, Malcolm. Thank you.
I really appreciated the that listing of the orphan features, because I think I'm like most people. I imagine, in the sense that, you know, if you just straight out asked me, you know, do I operate in an orphan spirit? I'd go, no, of course not. But when you actually give me that series of things to look at, it's like, oh, maybe. So, yeah, that was helpful, and yeah. And I appreciate how much scripture got thrown out today. I've got a long list of stuff to go back through, because I know I need to chew on that. So, but thank you.
Yeah, I think, Kev, we all flow in and out of it. I don't think sometimes we carry it. We just invite it in at different times, you know, to think in a certain way. Yeah. And there's a temptation there. Yeah. And we've got to resist that temptation. Yeah. It's good. Thank you.
I love that song that you played for us, Brookie. I really, really love it because the girl who sings in that song actually faces really serious issues in her life, and she still sings and declares with all her lungs that she's a child of God. And I just think, I just take so much strength from that, knowing you can do that, then I can, whatever I'm facing, I can declare that I'm a child of God and I can take that to my heart. I love that song. I love listening to her sing, and she breaks through at the end as if to say, this is it, guys. And she's really laying it down, going, this is it. I'm not drawing the line in the sand, and this is where I stand. And I really love it. So thank you for that.
And I wonder if the as I was listening to it too, Kev, it's really easy to fall into that orphan thing, but the Apostle Paul writes that we're in Christ, and I've often thought about that, you know, like, what does that really mean? And maybe there's lots of aspects of sonship that's what it's really implying, is that we're in Jesus, and when you're in him, you're safe and secure, you're catered for. And like I shared on the chat thing there, like, for me, he's the great shepherd in this season I've been going through, because he sometimes even when it's been difficult, he's shepherded me through stuff. So as I'm in him, he's in me, and we go together. And that's, it's a far cry from other gods who are separate, sort of far away or whatever. He's the God who comes close and near, and not only he's near, he's in. So as I'm in him, I'm a child of his, can't get any closer.
Yeah, that's good. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Talks about in that passage. Beautiful. Thank you, guys.
And for, like, there's a vulnerability in that too, in declaring that you're a child, because children are dependent on their parents. Like, they can't make their decisions without their parents. They can't do things apart from their parents, you know. So it's a real call to surrender that. I've got it. I can do this. And trust that he's got you.
Yeah.
In that. Yeah, and all we have to do is be little kids in his presence. Like, and I say it a lot, like, I've learned a lot about how God sees me through seeing my grandchildren and seeing them grow, and they're little, you know, and they're just full of joy, just, they've got no worries. Like, everything's done for them, you know. They've just got to take in the gift of every day, and they're learning. And I'm talking about toddlers here, so sometimes I feel like a toddler, that's for sure. But there's just such a, it's just a joy, and it's, there's no bounds on it. And I'm learning that. I mean, oh gosh, feel like a toddler learning that right now.
It's good. Yeah, I think we need to resist that pride, right, that says that I've got this, you know, and that God calls us to a life of humility. Which is a beautiful space, yeah. Come to me like the little children, huh? I feel like the Lord's really stirred a whole bunch of stuff up for us this morning, which is great, because it actually brings us to a place of maturity and strength, where we move from that place of feeling and being tempted to take on that sort of idea of being an orphan versus being a child of God. And maybe we can just wrestle with this as we attempted at different times this week of uncertainty, in uncertainty, to go, how am I thinking? What am I thinking like? Because there is certainly a temptation there that we need to grab hold of. And we have a sense of, security in him. He is our strength and our sure foundation. And let's grab hold of that this week. It's awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today. It's been great to spend time with you all. As I said at the start, we are hoping to meet outside for some community stuff in November. So the first week in November, I think it's the 7th, we're going to be meeting for Car Park Church all together. And then hopefully meet back in the club early December. One of the reasons there's a bit of a difference between our church and other churches is that because we don't have a building, we come under the any restrictions that the club have. And even though places of worship are free to go back under certain restrictions because the club aren't open to functions and things like that yet. So we're going to hang on and we're going to start to meet outdoors and have some community and start to connect and build some community. And then we're super looking forward to getting together and really diving deep as we get back into December. And one of the things we're doing the second week in December, we're going to have like a wildfire weekend. We're going to all get together on a Saturday for a few hours and really spend some time in worship and prayer and prophetic and have like a real time of just, just going deep with the Lord together as a whole church and strengthening us since we've been away from each other so long. So that'll be on the Saturday from 1 to 5, excuse me. And then on the Sunday as well, we'll follow up. So it got some exciting things coming up. And so we're really looking forward to that. But otherwise, I just encourage you to continue to support us through your tithes and offerings. That would be awesome. As we continue to sacrifice and support God's work among us, both now and in the future. So we just really encourage you to continue to be faithful in your giving. That would be awesome. And otherwise, we'll hopefully catch you soon. Please reach out if you need anything. If you want some prayer today, I'm going to hang around. I just wonder, Anthony and Ali, Tim's not here today. So Anthony and Ali, you guys want to hang around as well. If there's some people who just want some prayer, maybe some things today that we talked about that just have triggered some stuff for you that you just want to maybe just some prayer into, and we'd love to just pray for you and bless you in that way. Otherwise, you can log off, and we hope to see you soon. God bless you.